and thank Rav Dov for his warm words, for his friendship. How many of you have been in Israel since Rosh Hashanah? Did you notice anything different? Where did you eat?
I was watching.
In restaurants. Okay, did you check the hechsher of the restaurant? Okay. We're now already starting the second month of the Shemitah year. And since I've addressed the rabbinic retreat of YCT last year, describing the preparations for Shemitah, many things have changed. And I would like to bring to you, on the one hand, I would say the odor of Eretz Yisrael. What is Shemitah like? I'll tell you, it's my sixth Shemitah since I came in Aliyah. My first one was the Tovshin Lamed Gimel. And this Shemitah is different than the previous one. Not only because I'm a little older, it's because something really changed, and I would like to share that with you. On the other hand, I understand many of you are learning for Smicha, or all of you are learning for Smicha. I think that if we will address and try to analyze the different approaches to Shemitah, perhaps we will discover something more fundamental about different approaches to Psak, which perhaps it touches a point which for years I was told not to think so, and I did not think so, but this Shemitah is convincing me more and more about the relationship and connection between ideology and Psak. Remember, for years in yeshiva, maybe Rav Dov, you can assure, we were told that the realm of Psak obviously involves, on the one hand, your understanding of the principles of the halakha. On the other hand, how you evaluate the reality. You try to implement the halachic concepts and rulings within the real world. There could be differences relating how you relate to your assessment of the reality. Well, the example usually was Halal al Yom HaAtzmaut. You can agree or disagree upon your valuation of the state of Israel. Is it worthwhile to say halal or not? We were always told that the machloket is only there. When it comes to how do you view the principles of halacha, there's no difference between the so-called Haredi approach and the so-called modern Orthodox approach. And I must say that I do feel close to many poskim which may be called sociologically Haredim. But I do think that when we view what's happening now in Eretz Yisrael regarding Shemitah, we can see the differences of the approaches are not rooted in how to understand reality, they're rooted in ideology. And perhaps it's rooted in the fact that today the dominant posek in the Haredi society in Eretz Yisrael is Rav Eliyashiv, who perhaps has a different approach than his predecessors, mostly I think of the great Gaon, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. That perhaps by him these differences were less felt. But today it's very obvious that Rav Eliyashiv and I would say his followers do have a different approach ideologically, and I would like to share these insights with you. And I'm sure many of you have heard or are aware of the question which the Torah has raised, which is Manuchal Bashana Shvi. While the Torah says, and the Torah thinks that since the Torah addresses an agricultural society who did not buy their vegetables in the supermarket but rather grew them themselves, the Torah is aware of their dilemma. How can we have food not growing it? That dilemma does not exist today in Israel. The supermarkets are full of fruits and vegetables, and nobody has any, I would say, any doubts of the ability of the consumers to buy fruits and vegetables and eat them. There's no such dilemma. The dilemma is more, I would say, on the one hand, where should my fruits and vegetables come from? Or if you are a consumer, which hechsher should be to the fruits and vegetables department in the supermarket I go to? Will it be a hechsher which buys from so-called Nochri? I'll describe it to you. Hey, the supermarket I buy my food during the years which are not Shemitah, the so-called Shef HaShuk. I don't know if you are aware of the Israeli brand names. In Eretz Yisrael now, there are huge chains which have special stores for the Haredi population. Shef HaShuk belongs to a big chain called Aribu HaKachol, which has a very large chain of supermarkets. In the Haredi ones, they have special hechsherim, really cheaper, and I like to buy in those stores. The hechsher for the fruits and vegetables there are from the Badat, Eidah Haredit in Yerushalayim. There's a big sign when you come in where it says on the there, all the vegetables are nochri. Nochri means, if you don't know that, doesn't mean American goyim, it means Arabs, usually in Eretz Israel. And the carrots, potatoes, and a few more are still shishis, so that, no problem. And of course, the fruits are also shishis too, because fruits called basar chanata, and fruits are still shishis. Okay? I go to a different supermarket, the American supermarket of Beit Shemesh, called Super Hatzlacha. You can buy there any American brand name you ever wish to buy. They have a hechsher of Otsar Haaretz, which is run by Mechon HaTorah V'Haaretz, which was stationed in Kfar Darom until 2.5 years ago, and today in Ashkelon. And over there you will see big signs above each, I would say, vegetable you want to buy, which will declare L'lo K'dush HaShvi'is, In K'dush HaShvi'is. Today the cucumbers are K'dush HaShvi'is because they were picked by Jews after Rosh Hashanah, I mean during Shemitah. The tomatoes, the red peppers, and maybe the zucchini. I think that's the K'dush HaShvi'is. Potatoes and onions are all shishis, yeah. So they're the same. The fruits are all the same. Now when you go to the supermarket there, you have to ask yourself what I bought. Has K'dush HaShvi'is or not? Now if it has K'dush HaShvi'is, it has a whole long range of halachot which you have to observe. A, you're not allowed to buy it. It's to schor and perishvis. So in some of these places, when you come to the cashier, they take one tomato off and they weigh the other tomatoes and then they add it on and you don't pay for one tomato. So kavyochol, you don't pay for what you actually took. Some place that I went to, there's another place with Otsar Haaretz, where they take 5% off the weigh, the computer takes it off. I know that Rav Reima Cohen, our Rosh Yeshiva in Otniel, who's the Rav of the Yeshiva in Otniel, he told the Makolet, the grocery store in Otniel, that they should sell them by boxes and not by weight. Meaning the owner of the store, he puts boxes of tomatoes, let's say 10 tomatoes in a box, and I'll buy a box, and they don't weigh it at all, because he's afraid of the weighing. That's the first halakha you have.
Can you clarify why that's not?
Why is that better?
Yeah, well, I don't know why any of those approaches is not smart with fish face. Why don't you buy the bag and they give you the tomatoes for free?
It's like a good question.
It's
a good question. I would say that it goes back to the way I started presenting it. I mean, the Yisrael Peshvis assumes that you take the peros from your yard. The moment you buy a supermarket, no matter what trick you do, you're doing Yisrael Peshvis. I mean, you could say, as you said, you give them the bag, you have the box. What they're trying is to feel it's different than a regular year. That's what I would say. It's different. Now, you come home, and whatever has K'dush HaShvi'is, you have to eat it with K'dush HaShvi'is. Meaning, you cannot throw it in the garbage can, you can only use it b'derech that you regularly used. So when you peel your cucumber, you have to make sure to put aside the peels. And when you eat your salad and there are some leftovers, happens sometimes, you know, and you don't finish everything in your plate, so you have to make sure not to throw in the garbage can. So in your kitchen, you have a special, we were told by the Rabbanim not to call it a garbage can of Shvi'is, because that's the design of Shvi'is, because it's the Gneza of the pair of Shvi'is, you know. It's a separate plate for Shvi'is. And then you have different orders what to do with it. No, the Otsar Haaretz, they send you a letter, if you are a member. And in that letter, they will write to you, they wrote that seal the bag, make it like vacuum, and for 24 hours later on you can put it in the garbage can. The rabbi in my shul in Beit Shemesh delivered a shiur this past Shabbat, where he said it depends if it's cucumbers or tomatoes, because cucumbers he thinks you need a week. And you have in your kitchen, you know, for a week he expects you to have your cucumber peels. And these are, I would say, the two fundamental different stores which I find in Beit Shemesh. There's a third store, which you can go to, which will sell you heter mechira. Heter mechira means that the land is sold to a she'eino Yehudi, sold this year to a Druze, who's an officer in the Israeli army. The rabbi who sold it to him, Rabbi Weitman, who's the rabbi of Tnuva and in charge of Shemitah and the Rabbanut, he made sure that it should be a goy who's Shomer Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, so there should be no Isser of Lotachune. He made a point of that. And he found a Druze who he thinks fulfills that requirement. And in those stores, you can buy the fruits and vegetables. And on the one hand, they're from Jews. I'll explain that soon too, okay? On the other hand, there's no Kedusha Shvi'is according to most Shitas or Rishonim. His machlok is too. Peres Nochri, a Kedusha Shvi'is or not. Eretz Yisrael, the common psak in Yerushalayim and the rest of the country, besides Bnei Brak, you know, i.e., besides the Chazonish students, do not keep Kedusha Shvi'is on Peres of Nochri. In Bnei Brak, they're makpid on that too. Now, I can tell you in Beit Shemesh, the Shvita, I cannot find a Heta Mechira store. And I will just tell you, we'll address it soon more at length, that in Yerushalayim, the rabbinate of Yerushalayim will not give a Hechsher to any Peres of Heta Mechira. And therefore, in Yerushalayim today, you can find in many supermarkets the Hechsher of the rabbinate of the regional council, Matei Yehuda, which is where Shevet Yehuda was. Beit Shemesh is located within Matei Yehuda, just since it's a city, it has its own Rabbanut. And they sit in the same building as Rabbanut Yerushalayim. They have the same Mashgichim, but they sign the Hechsher and not the Rabbanut Yerushalayim. So this is from a practical mode. I mean, I go to a store, and I'm telling you, you just find different supermarkets which offer you different Hechsherim, different fruits and vegetables. Yes, please.
Just a technical question. When you say you can't find Hechsher Mechira food, that's in Beit Shemesh, is that in the Ramah or is that in the city also?
I don't know, the stores I go to regularly, they don't sell that to Mechir, you just can't find it.
I'm seeing the Makolet in the center and downtown in the...
Okay. Look, those stores who regularly get Hechsher Rabbanut Beit Shemesh, what do they do? No, I don't know, I don't go there, meaning okay. I'll discuss it soon. How much effort do I have to make to find the Heter Mechir store, you know? I'll describe it soon, okay? Now, I started with describing it from my point of view as a consumer. Yeah, go to different stores, and they all offer something different. Now, what's behind these different approaches, these different hechsherim, and which hechsher should I prefer, should I buy? So part of it, as I started, it starts from ideology, partial from halachic different points of view, and these together lead different policies. I will start with the halachic point of views. Heter Mechira was offered 120 years ago, already in the times of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan for the Shemitah of Tofresh Memtes, which is the first Shemitah, 1889, which there were Jewish farmers in Eretz Yisrael from the Aliyah Rishona, from the first Aliyah, and they were offered then to sell the land to Goy, to Goyim, and that Heter later on was adapted by Rav Kook. And until this past Shemitah, the Rabbanut in Israel every year renewed the Heter. Yes,
please. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan said it was okay to...
Yeah, sure.
He was the first one to do it.
Yeah, sure. And this Heter, until 2007, Shemitah Tov Shein Samechet, was adapted Shemitah after Shemitah by the Rabbanut HaRashit Israel. The so-called Haredi Mechshirim were opposed to the Heter Mechira, for various reasons. Most of them are from a halachic standpoint. There may be a machloket about the validity of the mechira itself. We really think we can sell the land of Eretz Yisrael to goyim. Would it stand in a court? You know, Rav Zev Weitman that I mentioned before, when he started being the Rav of Kfar Etzion, this is a story from the 80s, he was very much bothered by mechiras chametz. Is it a valid mechira? So he told the women in the kibbutz, they all have to bring their mixers and their bowls to some machzan, some warehouse, and they'll put it there, and after Pesach, they'll take it back. Chol HaMoed Pesach, the Arab that they sold to him, the chametz came with the truck, loaded all the mixers, you know, the KitchenAids and Kenwood, and disappeared. And Rav Weitman was very happy because it proved that it was a serious mechira. But there are people who ask themselves, is it valid? I can tell you something strange, that by the law of the state of Israel, the land is not owned by the farmers. It's owned by what's the so-called... Mekarkei Israel. What's it called in English?
Israel Land Authority.
Israel Land Authority. And therefore, Rav Chaim Drukman, the Rosh Hashivot of Bnei Akiva, was a Chaver Knesset in the 80s, for the Shemitah of 87, he made sure that they'll change the law. You're allowed to sell for Goy only for Shemitah. It's only valid for that year. But there are people who may be opposed to Heter Mechira. Some are opposed because they think halachically it's not a good idea to do it. I mentioned before, Lo Tachun is an Isser. Not that it's not valid, but there's an Isser to sell to a Goy. And therefore, here I'm trying to describe to you the way I understand this approach. I say to myself, if I have two options, one option which is based upon a machlokas, right? The mechira has been in the I've done for 120 years. There's 120 years machlokas about it, and since for 120 years machlokas, why should I want to buy it? I want the best. Or I'll mention now the next concept, which I did not mention yet, the so-called mehadrin, or the so-called mehadrin mina mehadrin. That's a better concept. Since there's a machloket, and besides the Mitzvah Gelchana and Rav Kook who thought it's good, there are poskim who recommended not to do so, like the Chazon Ish and others. So if there's a machloket, lo machnis roshi ben harim, I do not accept this option, and therefore I'll look for a different option. And that option of buying directly from a nochri, meaning a goy, who owns the land during all the years, is better halachically. The best is to bring it from Chutz La'aretz. There's in the supermarket I bought a few weeks ago, I bought a celery, and it said on it, it says, the Mahadrin, the best possible solution for Shemitah comes from Chutz La'aretz. Now, they didn't write where they brought it from, which Chutz La'aretz, but this goes together with this approach. In Chutz La'aretz, there's no Shemitah, right? So, Mimela, that's the best. Now, surprisingly, I would say differently. For years, the Dati Lumi community has supported the Heter Mechira because the Dati Lumi community has claimed that it is not possible for the agriculture community in Eretz Israel, which is mostly run today by kibbutzim, the globalization of the whole world. In Eretz Yisrael means that small farmers are not able to hold the land and grow, but the kibbutzim are like corporations, they are able. And not to grow for 1 year for them is economically hazardous. I'll give you a little bit of details, I'll make it short. The agriculture in Eretz Yisrael, per product, are only 1.4% of the GNP. Only 1.6 of the workforce in North Israel are in agriculture. When we translate percentages into human beings, into numbers, there's 20,000 farmers, which have 67,000 workers together. And all of them can find something else to do during Shemitah. They can join a kollel if they want. But the assumption is that stopping the work for 1 year will cause the... agriculture to collapse, because in the world of globalization, the assumption is that the markets will be filled from their competitors from other countries, and therefore eventually they will have to close. And also, I'll translate into money. It may be 1.4 of the GNP. It's 10 billion shekels. Now, since the dollar now is very low in Eretz Israel, only 4.02, so 10 billion shekels is $2.5 billion. It's a lot of money. It's a hefsid meruba, I think. It's a lot of money.
Are there also related industries that would be affected? Meaning not just the growing, but the processing, the packaging, and so on?
I'm not an expert in that. I can just say that all these numbers I took from people from the agriculture ministry, from what the information they have given, 80% of the food in Israel is imported from abroad. And
that's the standard year?
The standard year. Yeah, the standard year, 80% is imported.
Is the product
most of the products, the agricultural products, which are Israeli-oriented, are milk products. Israel is an empire of milk products, you should know. Yeah, please.
Of these 20,000 farmers and 67,000 workers, do you have a sense of those, what percentage of those 67,000 workers are Arab and would be working under Heter Mechira anyways, versus Israeli and would lose their jobs?
Well, I can tell you only from what I know from first-hand information. I'm not a rabbi of a kibbutz, and Rav Dov mentored. I'm no longer affiliated officially with the kibbutz of the team, even though I love the people very much. And my changing yeshiva doesn't mean that I disconnected my attachments to these people. I can tell you that Kfar Etzion, which is a known kibbutz, just celebrated 40 years since they rebuilt themselves after the Six-Day War. Kfar Etzion have land, which agricultural land, down in the area of Kastina, if you know where that is. Mm-hmm. It's not far from Yeshivat Ein Turim. And within Kibbutz Kfar Etzion, there's one person who is involved in agriculture. He is the person who hires the so-called, in Israel, Ovdei Kablan. I mean, you find the person that you rent out to him the fields. He makes sure to find the workers. And they work the fields. I mean, the members of the kibbutz there don't work in the fields at all. Now, who does this guy find? So he said he finds Arabs. I know they also found Jews. Jews who live in Kiryat Malachi, people who are, I would say, from the lower part of Israeli society, I mean, economically. And last year, when I was still in closer contact with Rav Yashiv Knoll, who was the Rav of Kibbutz Kfar Etzion, he went a few times for meetings, thinking, how to allow these people to make a living. I mean, I can fire them, you know, because they don't work for me, because I'm from the rabbi of the kibbutz. But I don't have any commitment to them. Now here we raise a very fundamental question. And that fundamental question is, when I'm a consumer in the supermarket, what do I have to think about? How broad is my perspective? Does my perspective have to include only my own wanting not to bump into any shita of Rishonim or Achronim, which may be opposed to this halachic solution? Or do I have to take into consideration the needs of more people, social needs? Do I have to take into consideration the question, do I think it's important to continue in working the lands of Eretz Israel? Do I think it's something which I have to think about and consider? I mean, when I decide in my house in Beit Shemesh what tomato to put in my plate, okay? What do I have to think about? Do I have to think about the Chazon Ish or Bitzchak Elchanan? Do I have to think about the members of the kibbutzim? Do I have to think about the Ovdei Kabla? Who do I think about? Now, I will raise this, explain this, maybe in the further way. Besides what I described before, that the Haredi approach is opposed to Heter Mechira, because there are some opinions that halachically is problematic, and it is, there are people that claim that since they are supporting Nochrim. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the question of Nochrim is more complicated. I don't know what your political standpoints are, but in Eretz Yisrael, things are complicated. Okay? The road to Otniel is not a pleasant experience. And I think it's worthwhile the trip, that I can say, because it's a very unique yeshiva. But the road is not too pleasant. We, Baruch Hashem, deal with it, and there are ways to be cautious. And I travel there daily. But things are complicated. And there are segments within the Israeli society today who view Arabs as their enemies. If you want to see the numbers of terror victims, you'll understand why they think Arabs are enemies, Palestinians are enemies. And if you're not convinced by that, so go to Sderot for a week, okay? And get a qassam in your head. The southern part of Israel is bombed daily by Palestinian Authority. Daily. I mean, the one in Gaza, not the one in Yehuda Shomron. And people say, in such a state, to buy from the Palestinian Authority is to strengthen my enemies and to weaken parts of Israeli society. And more than that, holding on to the land of Eretz Israel is part of the ability to fight this war, because if the lands are not at work, so Bedouins will take over, etc. And therefore they say, I have to, from a different perspective, I have to take that into account. Now this touches the so-called question of what's Mahadrin. As I mentioned to you before, Mahadrin has no, I would say, a tav tekken. Is it tav tekken in English? Tav tekken meaning
Top of approval.
Could be
standard.
Standard, which we can decide what's Mahadrin. I mentioned to you before that there are people who give Hechsherim in Eretz Yisrael who think the Chutz La'aretz is Mahadrin for Shemitah. That's what they think. Now, Heter Mechira for years was not considered Mahadrin. Why? Because Mahadrin is usually defined by having as least possible Shitot of Rishonim or Achronim that you bump into them. That's what's Mahadrin. Now, there are people in Eretz Yisrael today who think that it's a hidur to buy from a Jew. And therefore, I'll describe to you that there's a big debate in Israeli society today. There are six cities in Eretz Yisrael today where the chief rabbi of those cities refuses to give a hechsher to Heter Mechira. Now, I wanted to explain it. It's not that they don't call it Mahadrin. They don't give it a hechsher at all, meaning it's treif in their eyes. Including today, it's the Rabbanut of Yerushalayim, of Ashdod, I forget all the other cities. It reached the Supreme Court last week, where it was an appeal to force these Rabbanuyot to give it a hechsher, let them say it's Heter Mechira, but they have to claim it as kosher, and they refuse to do so. So the Rabbanim of Tzohar,
what was the ruling of the court?
The ruling was that they have to, the Rabbanut has to give an answer within 2 weeks. Now, I don't know what the answer is yet. And therefore, a few leading Rabbanim of the Tzibur HaDati Lumi, Rav Drukman, Rav Tzfanya Drori, Rav Dov Lior, together Rabbanim of Tzohar, declare that they're going to give an alternative Hechsher to the Hechsher of the Rabbaniot in those cities. They're going to give Hechsherim to Heter Mechira. When they have a problem with that, because there's a law in Israel against Kashrut organizations giving a hechsher without the permission of the Rabbanut. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, in every bag with a badatz, there's also a hechsher of the local Rabbanut. There's some bags with six hechsherim, you know. Like the chasalat, you know, without the worms. There's a hechsher of the Rav of Gush Katif, Alav Shalom. There's a hechsher today where the factory is the Rav of Shar HaNegev. There's a hechsher of Rav Nissen Karelitz for people of Bnei Brak. There's a hechsher of Rav. Some of them have badat, you know. I already counted four, but I've seen more.
The OU.
The OU too? The ones I buy, I didn't see it. But they're not allowed to give a hechsher if their local rabbi it won't sign too. So they want to give not a hechsher, they want to give hashgacha, which is, I think, is the common word here in America, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to call it tudat hashgacha. And now the lawyers are debating if the tudat hashgacha is legitimate or not. But that's not the whole story. In Yerushalayim, the problem was solved, because I mentioned to you before, the rabbi of Matei Yehuda gives the Hechsher, and there's a big sign, Heter Mechira, Matei Yehuda, in the heart of Yerushalayim. But everybody wants Mahadrin, right? So the Rabbanim of Tzar are going to now sign a new Tehuda, which will declare this is Mahadrin. And then you will have, next to your fruits, in fact, you have Matei Yehuda, Heter Mechira, Rabbanei Tzar, this is Mahadrin. Now you get dizzy from this. Meaning, some people think Chutz La'aretz is Mahadrin. Some people think Heter Mechira today is Mahadrin. It's a new voice. I've never heard it before. For years, I've heard the voice that Heter Mechira is needed, and therefore we do it. But if you get along without it, you're better off. And here, I think it's the first time that I remember that people want to give a Mahadrin, Hechsher to Heter Mechira, and this is to some extent because of what I described to you before. And this already goes to the politics of Israeli rabbinate, which I don't understand fully, but I'll describe them to you. And that is the so-called the Haridization of Israeli rabbinate. Meaning for years the Israeli rabbinate was for the masses, it was for Klal Yisrael. They had in front of their eyes the needs of all society. Since Rav Eliyashiv is more dominant, and the chief rabbis now, one of them now is here in America, I see, speaking at YU, another 35 minutes if you want to go hear him, Rav Amar, but especially Rav Metzger. Rav Metzger is accepts all the rulings of Rebel Yosef, and basically, I don't want to say he's a puppet, but whatever Rebel Yosef decides, that's what the chief rabbi decides. Now you reach an absurd that the major cities in Israel, the chief rabbinate will not okay Heter Mechira. Now, we're not discussing now, Bnei Brak, what the Jews, the Haredi Jews, believe. We're discussing what a Chiloni Jew believe. Meaning, there's a decision here to raise the standard of Kashrut for everybody. I was acquainted with this for the first time a few years ago when I spoke to Rav Zev Weizmann regarding an issue which occurred, it wasn't this year, when Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, Friday, it was a few years ago, I forget when, 5 or 6 years ago, right? We had 3 days, no, it was 3 years ago, it was 3 years ago, and once before last time.
And Eretz Yisrael, you remember your 3 day young thing.
Yeah, it's the only Erev Tavshilin you have a year, you know. This year you had a lot of 3 days, you had a lot of Erev Tavshilin. In Otniel, on every tree there was a sign, Erev Tavshilin, Erev Tavshilin, because people, they have a tendency to forget, you know. You never have it. And then the manager of Tnuva came to Rav Weizmann for the first time in the history of Tnuva. He said to him, whatever you will tell me to do, I'll do. Now, what's the dilemma? When you milk the milk from the cows, they have to be refrigerated. And you have these huge containers which are refrigerated. Now, they don't have enough space for milk from 72 hours. Regularly, they milk milk and they take it out to the center of Tnuva. And they were looking for a solution. When Rav Weizmann was seeking is that on Friday, second day of Rosh Hashanah, which is the Rabbanan, a She'eino Yehudi, a guy, will drive the milk to the centers of Tnuva. That milk will not go to the Mahadran line, meaning nobody in Yerushalayim or in Bnei Brak will drink that milk. And there were many Gavdolei Rabbanim located. When Rav Yashiv then declared that he will boycott, he will tell the Haredi community to boycott all products of Tnuva if they do that. And there was a big, big machlokas about it. And eventually, Tnuva gave in, and they spilled the milk. If you want to know how many liters of milk it was, it's more than 5 million liters of milk. And that, I think, is a turning point in, I would say, in the Haredi approach to Kashrut, meaning, do I think about only my community, which I think for years was their approach? I do shtadlanas for myself, or am I trying now to influence everybody else? And you see that very clearly now within the chief rabbi regarding Shemitah. Nobody in his mind thought that in Mea Shearim they'll buy Heter Mechira. But they're not allowing Jews who are not Haredim to buy Heter Mechira. And here, on the other side, come Rabbanim from the Dati Lumi community, and then they say, we won't let that happen. And they're going to declare that this is Mahadrin too. This is a very major change within the perspective, and nobody knows what it's going to lead to. The machlokot today between the Rabbanut and Tzor go to more areas. The most famous one is regarding Seder Kiddushin. Tzor, their major project is Seder Kiddushin. That's how they started, for secular couples, where they meet them in a more friendly way, I would say, and they present them in a more friendly way, the halachic concept of Kiddushin, and they're ready for my knowledge, I think around 50,000 couples who got married through Rabbanim of Tzohar, and without judging how the Rabbanut really does it, I can say that this year the Rabbanut declared they will not license any Rav who's not actually part of, he's not a member of the Rabbanut HaRashid, meaning to have smicha is not enough to do Seder Kiddushin. You can only do Seder Kiddushin if you actually are a what's so-called Rav Mechahen, meaning you have a shteller. Now what does a shteller mean in a city, in a yeshuv? It means I cannot do Seder Kiddushin. I could until 3 months ago, because if you're a Rosh Yeshiva, you can. If you're a Rav in a yeshiva, you can't anymore. And every time I'm asked to do Seder Kiddushin, they have to okay me. And in the summer, I was asked to do Seder Kiddushin in Tel Aviv, and the Rabbanu declared that I cannot do Seder Kiddushin. The couple said to me, what are we going to do? I said, find a different rabbi. That's what I said. And they insisted upon me, and they fought the Rabbanut, and they okayed me, okay? But you should know that there's a lot of machlokot here, which part of them are politics, part of them are ideology, which I mentioned till now two 2 points.
What's the ideology of not allowing certain rabbanim to be inside of Kedusha?
I'm talking about Shemitah. I'm talking about Shemitah now, okay? I'm leaving to the Kedusha. Okay? I'm talking about Shemitah. One question is, what considerations do I take upon myself when I'm a consumer? Do I say to myself, I only care about myself, I want no chashi surim, and therefore hetem mechira is a chashi sur, because according to certain post-game, it's problematic. You cannot deny that. I think nobody denies that. Or do I say part of my perspective has to include my thinking about farmers, about the political situation in Israel, about do I buy from my enemies? Do I have to think about that or not? That is one ideological question. And I think the other question, which I will add another detail, which may give you some perspective, is do I work for my community, people who decided this is their policy, or do I impose it upon everybody? When I would add one more detail, which may give it a different perspective, before I mention Tnuva losing money, we should know fruits and vegetables in Israel now are more expensive. They are much more expensive. Since Rosh Hashanah, they're more expensive. It reached the newspapers already. They're talking about it in the economical parts of newspapers. Everything's more expensive, of course, because if you're limited, you can only buy from a certain retailer. So everything is more expensive. He told it to me last week, that he spoke to a person who has a restaurant in Yerushalayim. He said, you went to restaurants. There's a restaurant in Yerushalayim. And he said, during the 6 years of not Shemitah, he can order his fruits and vegetables from 30 retailers, and he can choose. And now he has three. Mm-hmm. And all the prices are higher. Mm-hmm. Meaning, it's not only that we're imposing a higher halachic standard, but we are preventing the farmers from working. We are forcing the general population in Israel, which do not know about the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook and Bitzvah Kilchon, they never heard their names, okay? Maybe Rav Kook they did. We're forcing them to pay more in order to keep a chumrah which was decided in Mea Sharim. This is already something which also you have to ask yourself, was it proper to do that? Now, surprisingly so, after I described to you how Hetem Mechira today is pushed forward as the Mahadrin by large parts of the Dati Lumi rabbinate, you should know that within the Dati Lumi rabbinate, there's a totally different trend which is trying as much as possible not to use Hetem Mechira, but for totally different reasons than what I described till now. And this returns us to the Tzara Aretz that I mentioned before. Started this Rav Zev Weitzman in the Shemitah of Tavshin Mem Zayin, 1987, with the Rav of Kfar Etzion, where on the one hand, he seeked to continue Jewish agriculture during Shemitah, but to try to do it with different halachic solutions or ways than Hetem Mechira. And he started pushing forward the Otzar Beit Din, which is considered, I have my doubts about it, but it's considered to be halachically higher standard than Hetem Mechira, which I'll mention its questions or problems or dilemmas. It's not so clear that Otzar Beis Din works, meaning it's mentioned only in Tosefta. It's not mentioned by the Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah v'Yovel. How do you do it, Otzar Beis Din? It's a true Otzar Beis Din. The idea of Otzar Beis Din is that the farmer becomes a shliach of Beis Din, and they cover his expenses. But how do you do it practically? That should be, as Rav Dov asked before, how do you really solve Schara b'Perishviz? How do you really do that? It's not so clear, and there are many, many differences of opinions about it, upon that. But this is a trend that Rav Weitzman has started. He published a very famous book about it. It's called Likrat Shemitah Mamlachtit B'Mdinat Yisrael. It's a whole book trying to convince not only that halachically it's a good idea, but that it's possible practically. And since the Shemitah of Toshim Mem Zayin, when it was done by Kibbutz Kfar Etzion, it's more widespread today. And today, the whole idea of Otzar Aretz is based upon the idea of Otzar Beis Din. The name Otzar is within the name of Otzar Aretz. Well, now I want to make it clear, you cannot use Otzar Beis Din for all of the agriculture. It can only be used for fruits, cannot be used for wheat, for whatever is planted on a yearly basis. It cannot, so it's no solution. But the trend is, let's use Otzar Beis-Din as much as possible. That's how Otzar Haaretz created a whole, I would say, a league of different solutions, where they commit themselves to give you the, on the one hand, best possible halachically solution that will enable Jewish agriculture. And that's how, I don't remember the, you know, the whole six members of the league, or what order, but it starts from Perush Shishis. They'll try as much as possible to give Perush Shishis. I was in the summer in a winery in Yokneam. I was on vacation with my wife, and they told us it's a very interesting winery. Go there, we went there. It's a winery where they manufacture wine from everything besides grapes. From potatoes, from whatever has sugar inside it. Potatoes, from pomegranates, from dates, carrots, unbelievable. It really tastes good. And it's a family-like winery, you know, and so comes in the guy who manufactures it. If you would see him in the street, you wouldn't think he's Dati. He's a Masorti, from a guy from Edot HaMizrach. He goes with a cap. And he said to me, like, Kemisiach Lefituma, he says, you know, I decided that I'm going to make as much wine I can as Shishis, and Shvi'is I'll manufacture in one. It's a guy on the street, you would never picture him to do that. It's unbelievable. So they do as much as possible as Shishis. Then they do the so-called Matzah Menutak, meaning Otzit Sheino Nokov. They put it on tables. Like celery I bought last week in the supermarket said Matzah Menutak. Again, no Kedusha Shvi'is. Shishi says no Kedushas Shvi'is. They will try to bring from parts of Eretz Israel which halachically do not have Kedushat Haaretz, even if it's questionable, so-called Arava Drumit. It's out of the borders of Olei Bavel. It's only included in Olei Mitzrayim. And then there was a big machloket which was already decided. When I spoke in February, it was undecided if to put Hetzer Mechirin or not. In February, when I addressed the retreat, the rabbinic retreat, the Otzar Haaretz tendency was not to include Hetzer Mechira because they wanted it to be attractive to the Haredi community. And there was tremendous pressure upon them. And what I've described to you before is part of, I would say, a shift in ideology also between them and the more Haredi Hechsherim. And today Otzar Haaretz, they include Hetzer Mechira on the low scale, but it's included, meaning when they will finish all the shishis and all the Arava Drumit, all the Matzah Menutak, they'll provide Hetzer Mechira. From what I understand, they will note it on the bag, and you can choose if you want it or not. It's a chiddush in Eretz Yisrael that a consumer can choose. I mean, you're not told what to do by the Rabbanim. So, this is Otzar Haaretz.
What? But most of those solutions you mentioned have no Kedusha Shvi'is, but Otzar Haaretz is the only hechsher that you can get that actually has Kedusha Shvi'is.
Otzar Haaretz is the only one with Kedusha Shvi'is. Now, I can tell you that Otzar Beis-Din is a beautiful idea, but last week it failed. Mm-hmm. Rav Weitman, who, as I mentioned before, has the copyright on this idea, Lash Mita tried to do it in Tnuva. And in order for Otzar Beis-Din to work, you need people to buy it. People who are ready to have Kedusha Shvi'is in their kitchen. Kedusha Shvi'is is a little headache. And last Shmita, I can tell you, Tnuva lost 8 million shekel on their Otzar Beis-Din potatoes. And Rav Weitman reached a conclusion that unless consumers will join, it's a failure, and therefore this Shvita, he's the head of the Hetzer Mechira desk in the Rabbanut HaRashit, trying on the one hand to do it as least as possible and the best as possible. Meaning, he's a very, 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 how do you say Yisodi?
Fundamental.
Yisodi. He does it very systematically. And he had people sit with every farmer and really check if they really have to do it, and then to make sure the Mechira is done properly. I mean, it's higher standard, this Shemitah, the Hetzer Mechira, than the past. Mm-hmm. And it's only used when there's no other choice. And the Otzar Beis-Din of Otzar Haaretz, in order to make sure that they really have a crowd, they ask people to sign up ahead of time. They have, from what I heard, around 80,000 families have signed up that they want to buy Otzar Haaretz. And they paid through their credit card every month 50 shekels to buy fruits and vegetables. You got home, it arrived already after Rosh Hashanah. You get like a shovar, you know, like a coupon of 50 shekels when you can buy. Now, who buys vegetables for 50 shekels? I have 8 kids, you know, and the prices are higher now. You know, 50 shekels is maybe 3 bags of lettuce and 2 kilo of cucumbers, okay? You buy much more. But they wanted to make sure that they really know that they have people who want to buy it. And in the beginning of the year, at Tzar Haaretz, was very, very, very not organized. It's the worst time of the year to start Shemitah is during Tishrei, because 3 days Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, and you want to, and you eat more, you just buy more, and it was very not organized. The quality was very lousy, and people were walking around very nervous, you know, saying it's not going to work, and they did have their problems of Chevlei Leida. The person who runs the fruits and vegetables department in the supermarket I described before, the Brachim Mutzar Aretz, by mistake, they gave him a double order on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And I saw him the day, the entrance to the supermarket was only boxes of fruits and vegetables, and he was very nervous. How's he going to get rid of it? He couldn't even check what they delivered him. But eventually, I could say as now, it seems like it's stabilizing, and it seems like it's going to work out. Yamim Yagidu, but that's what it seems now. Now, what I would like to point out, and with this I'll end the address, is that I feel that there's a third ideological question involved here, and that's what I was hinting to when I started the talk. What is behind these two approaches? One approach that says, I want Shemitah that doesn't bump into any posek, which thinks it's not done properly. And what's behind this new trend? I think it's a new thing. I don't remember it. The people who want Kedushas Shvi'is in their kitchen. My mother said to me during this month, it's like the Kohanim wear Truma, you know? That apparently the Kohanim learn this all the time. What's behind this? And what I feel, that it's two different approaches to Halakha. And I think it's worth addressing. I think something positive is happening now in Eretz Yisrael, something spiritual. It may not be a coincidence that it's outbursting regarding Mitzvot HaTliyot Ba'aretz, the different approaches. Now, the words which you will find on the Haredi Mahadre Nechsherim are the Loch Shash Shvi'is Tevel V'Orla. You ever see that?
Mm-hmm.
How is Shvi'is presented here?
Chashash.
It's a Chashash. Shvi'is is an Isser. If Tevel is an Isser, and Orla is an Isser, Shvi'is is an Isser. And what do I have to do? Make sure not to be over on the Isser. So what's the best way not to be over on the Isser? Chutz La'aretz is the best way. And if Nebuch has to have merit, it's true. Since if I check poskim, Heter Mechira is more debated than Nochri, so Nochri is less of a Chashash Isser. If I can share with you a story which shocked me in Chol HaMoed Sukkos. I have a relative who's his son is learning on the Brisker Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And he told his son not to go to the Kaisel during Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Why not? I thought maybe he's afraid of terror. No. He said, look, since it's Machlokes, bin Rambam and the rest of the Rishonim, is the Chiyuv of Lulav Kol Shiva Midoraisa, what is Mikdash? Is Yerushalayim included in Mikdash? So if you go to Yerushalayim, to the old city, you go to the Kaisel, according to the Rambam, Yechayim and Shivas in Arbas Hamini to take Lulav Midor Raisa. But maybe your Lulav and Esrog are not kosher. So my brother-in-law said to this 19-year-old kid in Brisk Yeshiva, what do you do Yom Tov Rishon? He says, Yom Tov Rishon, I have no choice, what can I do? But if I can avoid a chash that I made, not being chayav myself in Dalad meaning that I made me not be Yotzei Yedichot, that's better. And this, to my understanding, it's a true story. I'll tell you his name later if you didn't guess, okay? This is a true story, but it's rooted. The family lives in America, if you didn't understand that. They have no chash shvi'is in their life. They have no, I would say, no chash Kirvas Elohim in their life. I told this kid, he's a 19-year-old, but I said to him, you're Oved Hashem Yira. I said, you are. You're Oved Yira. Meaning, when you take Lulav, what are you afraid of? Maybe, you're not Yotzei Yedei Chayva. You know, the Ritvaz from Slutsk is a very nice story. Once visited Volozhin during the 1860s, when Yerbi Yosher Ber Baal Beis Halevi was still in Volozhin. And since you have here not only 3 days Yontiv in Tishrei, you also have two Zdarim, so he went to first night to the Netziv and the second night to Rabbi Shaver. And he says, when I came to the Netziv, said there, all the Bochrim from the Yeshiva came, and they were singing, and they were happy, and they were Divrei Torah, and the Seder was said in such a beautiful, poetic way. And the next night, I went to the Beis Halevi, to Rabbi Shaver. First of all, he waited for Rabbeinu Tam to start the Seder. Now, Rabbeinu Tam by Rabbi Shaver is the Zextel. It's not the 72 minutes, it's the 2 hours. Okay. And then he has to make Chatzos. So he has to say the Haggadah very fast. Then he says he reaches Matzah. The Matzah was burned because he was afraid of some Chash Isser. And the Maror was in huge quantities. And basically, these are two Drachim Avodas Hashem. When this Derech Rabbi Shaver is a Mamash, it's Avod Hashem Miyira. Isser became, Shvi'is became Chash. And the best way to observe Shvi'is is, as I mentioned before, not to observe it. It's to make sure that you don't meet it. And I think what's behind this new trend in Eretz Yisrael today, and as I mentioned before, I think it's not a coincidence that it happens through Shemitah, through Mitzvah Satlius Baretz. This is the way I understand Torah Eretz Yisrael. It's not that you understand the Rashba better, I think it's this, is that people want Shvi'is as a positive, as the Torah is a positive concept, as the Torah describes it, Vaita Shabbat Ha'aretz Lachem Lo'ochla. People want to eat. It's the first Shemitah that I'm experiencing it. People, instead of saying to themselves, Kedusha Shvi'is is a pain in the neck. Maybe I'm over that I peeled the potato, you know, the cucumber in the wrong way. People say, I want Kedusha Shvi'is because I want Kedusha. And what you feel today within the parts of the Dati Lumi, I'd say the Torahdik community, and I can tell that Rabbi Reima Cohen, or Rosh Yeshiva, is one of the major speakers for this idea, is that people want to feel close to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. People want to view Kedusha not as a negative concept that should make sure not to be over an Isser, but people have a desire for Kirvas Elokim. People want that they should be Oved Hashem through their food, through their food, through their fruits. And as I started, this is not only a difference in how you assess reality, this is a very fundamental difference of how do you relate to Halakha as our gate to Avodas Hashem. And I feel that this fundamental difference is far beyond just saying Yom HaTzmahot is a good idea or not. It's really a difference of Kiras Elokim. Is it Chashash, or do we feel that's Kedusha? And this is what I wanted to share with you regarding Eretz Yisrael. But I will add, Rav Dov asked me the same thing about Otniel. Yeshivat Otniel, is anybody ever visited there? You want to say something about it? It's one of the big Hasidic yeshivot now in Eretz Yisrael. The yeshiva has 360 Israeli students, no overseas students. I think among the Israeli yeshivot, it's one of the, one or two. Yeah. You have Yitzlandis.
You had Eli Kranzler's son.
Yeah. Yeah, we have every year one or two. But I'm saying among the Hasidic yeshivot with the Israeli population, it's one of the most popular yeshivot. And from my short acquaintance with the yeshiva, I also understand why. Because on the one hand, it's a very powerful Beis Medrash where learning and lumdis in the broad sense, as you experience it here too, not only a conceptual analytical approach, but a broader approach to halakha is the center of the Beis Medrash. Rav Reima Cohen, the Rosh Yeshiva, is a very big lamdan, and you feel how the learning is the center part of the Beis Medrash. Together with that is a true quest for spirituality and religiosity in the yeshiva, while the yeshiva also has a very special and unique Hasidic atmosphere, very, I would say, personal too. And beyond the wide range of knowledge that students are exposed to, every student is really expected to try to go through personal growth, to ask himself, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shalom Yimach, to ask himself, how do I establish my connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu? And Rav Reim that I mentioned, together with his Koresh Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Kalmanzin, who is a very unique and special Talmid Chacham, they were able to build a very special Beit Midrash. And I'm very glad that I got the schut to be part of it. I do feel that there are many elements in the Beis Medrash there which you could feel close to, and we could defined, I would say, partnerships. We have to overcome our location. But I want to say your location is pretty bad too. In your location, there's no Shemitah, there's no Kedusha, there's no Kirbas Elokim. So we'll have to somehow discuss our locations. But I suggest that we get our hearts close together, and Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue our friendship and partnerships in many more years. Thank you.
Amen.
Questions, perhaps?
Your location is beautiful.
What? Is it ever? I mean,
it's gorgeous.
Avinu passed by our...
Take that to get.
Thank you.
Mayor, would you say that the... just one practical question.
Please.
You keep on mentioning that it forces everybody. You know, non-dati don't have to go by any of sharing. Is that the same true in the Shemitah year? Can they just buy food?
Well, I'll tell you something very maybe surprising for you. It's hard to buy non-kosher food in Israel. Because all the big chain supermarkets have hechsher. They can have different level of hechsherim, but most food in Israel has a hechsher. All the big factories have a hechsherim. If you want to buy non-kosher food, you have to really you have to work hard on it. Meaning, you have to. There are non-kosher stores in Israel. Uh-huh. Then the whole store is non-kosher.
Right.
I can say, it's like in Beit Shemesh, where I live, there are non-kosher stores which are mostly affiliated with the Russian population. Which many of them are Jews, meaning so let non-Jews eat non-kosher food, you know. But it's very rare today. And this I can tell you, when I was a kid, I mentioned it's my sixth Shemitah. My first Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael of 1973, everything was Hetter Mechira. And when you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda then, most stores had no Hechsher for Trumas and Maisris. And you would just go to the Shuk, and most of the products that you bought most probably were Tevel. Today, I think in Machne Yehuda, it's hard to find a store without a hechsher. And that Shemitah of 73, my father was not Somech in Hetter Mechira that year, and for many more Shemitot later. He used to go specially to Machne Yehuda to find that one store in Yerushalayim. My brother-in-law, Herzl Rosenberg, is married to my sister Esti. His father owned a vegetable store in Rishon LeZion. And he was known in Rishon LeZion as a person who was Moser Nefesh on Shemitah to bring non-Hetter Mechira products. Since then, many things have changed, and today, I think in every chain that you go, every supermarket has a hechsher. Like in Beit Shemesh, I mentioned the Haredi supermarket. So it's a supermarket, you can see the sociological changes from the names. Supermarket used to be names which, like, we're trying to tell you that it's very fancy what you're buying here. Today, all the names are trying to tell you it's cheap. Like Zolpo, Chatzi Chinam, Hiper Netto. No, Hiper Netto means? Netto means that it's like the minimum. And there's a supermarket called Chatzi Chinam. It's located in the big shopping mall, the entrance to Beit Shemesh. There's nothing firm about that chain, and nothing, you would even affiliate with any Haredi population. And the fruits and vegetables, you have Hechsher Rav Efrati, who's the Mahadran Rabbanut Yerushalayim. And therefore, if you ask me where to buy Hetter Mechira, so with non-kosher, it's hard to find.
And if I just have one more question about the whole Machmir approach, which intersects with the human dimension and who's your community, mm-hmm. Do you find that the Rabbanut and the Haredim are more responsive when there'll
be a walk to
their community
when there'll be a hefsed to
Dati Jews, or do you think even there just the
Machmir
approach pretty much dominates even
in those cases? I don't know. I do feel that once you're committed to these values, you're ready to sacrifice more for them. And therefore, I don't know what if the Haredi community is a community or as individuals who feel the hefsed, they respond differently. But in general, I think you do feel that the halachic concept of hefsid merube, which is very common halachic literature, is less dominant today, because today people are not traditional but they're orthodox, meaning today people chose to be affiliated with halacha. But I can't tell you, I just don't know.
It seems like a prime PR opportunity for the Dati Lubin community. I wonder how you think the community is handling not having the Israeli public at large feel like Torah Judaism is totally Sona Yisrael, you know, and mamash a hatred for Haredim, while balancing like a real, you know, focus on the tzaras of the community at large. How you feel like that balance is working on a PR level? And just secondly, how do you think that the power of the Dati Lumi in the secular communities could best be used to sort of combat that?
And what's that discourse like? Is a discussion about boycotting Haredi products? You know, I mean, to address that, what role did Dati Lumi playing on its extremes, and what would you propose?
Well, I'll be honest with you, the Haredi community is much stronger today in Eretz Yisrael, much more influential politically, okay, and the Dati Lumi community today has zero, I'm sorry for saying that, zero influence.
Politically,
and not more than that. I mean, the Haredim are much more influential today. They're much stronger. They're affiliated stronger. The rabbinate is Haredi today, and the Dati Lumi are more licking their wounds. That's what I would say.
How can you say they have no power when they control the Hezder Yeshivot? That's a serious force.
Do you know how many people learn Hezder Yeshivot? Do you know?
What?
Do you know how many people learn Hezder Yeshivot?
No.
Do you know?
1,000.
How many do you think?
1,000.
There are 1,200 a year who join Hezder Yeshivot, so maybe 8,000 people. You know how many people live in Israel? 7 million people live in Israel.
50 years.
I'm sorry to say this, but my feeling of being part of the Dati Lumi community is we're not so relevant today for Israeli public. That's the truth. I think people are aware of it today. Now, with this Shemitah issue, change something, we're only in Cheshvan, I mean, Dalit Cheshvan, I don't know. I don't hate Haredim. I want to make a point. I love Haredim, and I like to live next to them. It's more difficult for me to live among them because I'm different than them at certain points, but I feel close to them in many things. And I try very much not to raise any hatred to them. On the other hand, certain things, policies, which they do, I do think it's wrong, and they do anger me, I would say. Like, to impose a non-heter mechira on the whole community, I think it's a mistake. That's what I think. But to answer you, I can't have a clear answer, but I think it's too soon to say what's going to happen, but I don't know.
You mentioned as one of the concerns that might come to redefine what Mahajan really means, the concern about buying from the enemy. And you mentioned buying from the Palestinian Authority. I thought, maybe I'm wrong about this, just on a material level, and then I have another question on the topic, that when you talk about buying from non-Jews in Israel, you're talking about Israeli Arabs, not about Palestinians. Is that not correct?
It's both. It's both. But I want to add that it's both. It's also from Gaza. Now, what I would add also is that some say it's not only a political claim or policy, it's also halachic. Because one of the considerations against Heter Mechira is Lo Techunem. Now, Lo Techunem is selling it to a non-Jew. But they claim, if you take into consideration a broader perspective, and by not doing Heter Mechira, you buy now from non-Jews, so you give more Chanoya Bakarka to non-Jews than by selling it to a non-Jew to enable Jews to sell it. Meaning, it's not only ideology, it's also different ways of how do you assess the halachic, I would say, concept of Lo Techunem in this case.
Right, but I mean, there are obvious questions about who's the object of Lo Techunem. Is it the Zion Amamin? Is it Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Is it Namvei Noach?
Like, I agree.
And that's obviously going to be pushed ideologically. How do you want to define that?
Partially. But you should know that there are people, I don't know if you have to agree with it, but there are people that are... The claim that also with Israeli Arabs, the question of who catching the land is a fundamental question also in the future, on the border to set the borders of the state of Israel.
When you sell land for a year, Al Manasseh is going to be sold back.
That's not. But we have to know. There's no land which if you leave it alone, people don't go into it. Meaning, there are issues which I don't know about them enough. Okay, I mean I'm a rabbi. I'm not in charge of the land. But all I'm saying is, there are such considerations. Okay.
When you say we're buying from Palestinians, are we buying from individual Palestinians or from the government? Meaning,
I can just tell you what I saw on the internet 2 weeks ago. Realizing the prices are very high, there were voices that said, "Let's import from Gaza. There are a lot of cucumbers in Gaza. Let's import." There are such voices.
Right.
Now, whether Dati Lumi convinced him it's not a good idea, I don't know.
Meaning, if it's.
I mean, to experience this is a spiritual sakana, like as a rav in Israel, like I wouldn't know how, on any level, to being over being really Sonei Israel, or of being totally insensitive to the public? Like, how do you balance that when you speak to communities?
It's a good question. It's a good question. The individual has no tools to assess. That's what I want to say. We have no tools to really know. So what do? You join the masses. Like, I can tell you, my neighborhood, I would not describe everybody, as you know, as the most firm in the world, okay? But everybody joined the Tzara'aretz, you know, everybody. You know? So some are more right-wing, and maybe they believe also in that idea. And some, you know, because everybody joins, you know? And eventually, I don't think that the individuals have the knowledge and the tools to really assess the answer to your question.
Do you have people not eating in other people's houses? That they normally would eat in?
I don't know.
It hasn't happened.
I want to tell you that I went to a bris on Yud Aleph B'Tishrei. The bris was in Masuot Yitzchak. It was the son of the rabbi of the kibbutz, of the moshav. And he's one of the fierce fighters for legitimacy of Heter Mechira. And he got up and he said to all his guests, vegetables are Heter Mechira, but you should know that since they were grown in shishis, so there's no problem of svichim, even if you're against het and mechira, so everybody can eat from it. Now what can happen in 4 or 5 months when it'll be perosh shvis? I don't know, meaning...
That's why the breast was there.
I don't know. I can tell you that I changed my approach in Shemitah of Tavshin Nundali. I was brought up in a house where you don't buy het and mechira. In Tavshin Nundalu was my first shmita where I taught with it at the kibbutz Adati. And we ate in the dining room of the kibbutz. And I said to myself, you know, there are people here that if they won't do Heter Mechira, they will collapse economically and you won't eat the tomato. I mean, what's the issue eating the tomato, you know? So keep Kedusha Shvi'is. Maybe Svichim. Now, I don't know if I'm allowed to expose this secret, but I've seen a letter that the Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, wrote my Uncle Chaim during the 60s. When he asked him what to do, and he told him, clear cut, eat the Heter Mechira vegetables.
Rav Schechter holds it, but the Rav held not to.
Well, I've seen it in the Rav's handwriting, okay? Okay?
I prefer that position.
I'm hesitant to what to do with the letter, but...
I spoke to Chaim,
I saw Chaim in Cholom Moed Sukkis, and he, not knowing that I have a copy of the letter, he said to me, I asked Papa, and Papa told me, eat Heter Mechira.
I spoke to him in Hebrew, and we were together there.
It's my understanding that none of the major American kashrut organizations rely on Heter Mechira.
I don't know.
W, Chaf K.
There's an issue to export Paris Shviz to Chutzlars, you should know. But if it's Heter Mechira, it might be Mut.
So the only time that we kind of encounter Kedusha Shviz is with our Etrogim every year.
Mm-hmm. Next year.
So I was wondering, is there any. I have two questions. One is, what would you recommend us. Those of us who are out there in communities, how should I relate this in my shul to my balabatim? Because I don't necessarily want them to hate the rabbanut. I don't want them to have that sense of sinna, but I want them to understand what the issues are. And alternatively, how can I actually get kedushas shviyit here? Like, is there other than my etrog?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I can't answer the question. I do think that the point that you raised is a very fundamental point, which you should discuss among yourselves. Do you want to create an atmosphere of Shviz in America too? I mean, do you want to talk to your congregants about the Shemitah, and Shemitah has a positive aspect, and let's be part of it? I will ask you something, which I don't know the answer. There are Israeli products in the supermarkets here. Mm-hmm. Are they mafrish and zemaisis from them in the regular years? When you buy the Carmel tomatoes, you know, the sherry ones. Are they mafrish to tourist commissioners?
Fairway sells Israeli.
I hope so.
You hope they are?
I really hope so.
Do you know so?
I don't know so.
I can ask you. The old share about how you do it.
Wrote an article about 10 years back about, first of all, it was my understanding. For a long time, I didn't buy those. It's supposed to like the peppers, the orange peppers, the yellow peppers, they often come from Israel too. You know, the Jaffa tomatoes. Anyway, so for a long time, I didn't buy it. But, and then I heard, and I thought you might know about this, that everything that they send for Chutzlars goes through some central processing.
And they're mafrish.
And they're mafrish.
Could be.
And then Michael Broad also wrote an article about 10 years ago, because a lot of the stuff ripens. They ship it unripe. And it ripens artificially.
Oranges and tomatoes, they ship green. So that means it wasn't Chayav the Mises in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Even the ripe is probably.
The OU's policy on it, as a mashkiach, I can just say from that, the OU's policy by Trimas and Meiser
is that everything is taken misafek unless it's on the list that they already know was taken.
Okay, so it's good to know. No nafkamina for me. I'm going home for Shabbos.
two questions. Number one is last year, at least within the leftist press, there was a lot of discussion about how Shviz could often be a wonderful opportunity to aid in the humanitarian crisis which exists in the territories, and how it could be an opportunity to strengthen economically the uh-huh. Palestinians, and thereby as a way of creating peace and stability. Right. So regardless of whether you review this political perspective or not, in other words, still, you know, Dafka, such a position would hold that it's Dafka the which would be the hitter.
And the problem is the left doesn't give a hechsher.
So well, that's an observation. I think it should be pointed out that this opinion doesn't appear to, at least, not, I mean, I don't know, being reflected in this halachic debate. If we talk about the political implications, all those political discussions are within either seemingly I don't care or I don't know how to label the other side, they've already called nationalist right wing, etc. I was curious if there was any reflection. I'm assuming there isn't any such opinions.
I can tell you there's a big article in the Haaretz 2 weeks ago about Shemitah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what I...
Beit Avichai made a very big kenis where they tried to make it to something which is what?
Ecological.
Some people talk about Shemitah's Ksofim today. Some talk about... There was a very nice idea that the fruits of Kedusha Shvi should be given to the Gurnei Chesed, meaning to the kitchens that give food to the needed. There were many ideas of how to make Shemitah into just more than buying Otsar Aretz and putting my cucumber peel in a garbage can. Even though I say it's positive and people want it, but come on, you know, it's not such a, you know, Gibore Koach Osei Dvaro, you know, meaning if you can really make a change within society, it's much more, needed and... There are such voices. I don't know what's going to happen. I just described to you what happens now from the perspective of consuming fruits and vegetables.
There's no thought of just saying that we should be buying nochri.
Well, not among the kashrus.
Okay, that's just it. Number two question was the expression of this idea of changing our relationship towards the word, if not the concept of kedusha. I mean, without doubt, it's, you know, we see that, you know, Rami Tal quite a few years ago went on the tirade for a few years. Dafka against was very concerned with this. I mean, I know Noniel, I'm sure that at least my day, I don't know about today, but my day is different guys in Noniel who were in Finland, and that's becoming a much more popular thing across the U.S. and Israel. I didn't think that trend is reversing. But so how do we relate to, on the one hand, the idea of wanting more Kedusha versus, you know, the positive Pen Yarsu of Kedusha? I mean, as being something which is us at the end of the day, because Shvius means that it's us in Mishum Shvius, not that it's holy, doesn't glow, you know, so to speak. There's no, you know, we don't have to go to the mikvah before we touch it. It's a right dilemma,
meaning with the positive force of wanting Kedusha, you have to know the limits. You have to know to Shinapi Nezara. And if you ask me specifically Shvius, the boundaries are the halachic boundaries. I mean, halacha is rulings regarding Kedusha Shvius and observe them.
The Haredi population is a big poor population. Is there a squeeze on like the average, not the rabbinic, but on the average Haredi family that prices are going up? I mean, is this something that you work with?
I don't know. I never checked it. Do they buy less fruits and vegetables? I don't know. I can tell you it's a dilemma all year round. It's also by their chickens are more expensive. I just bought chickens in a wholesale place. The Rav Rubin's hechsher costs more than the hechsher I rely upon. 8 shekels more for a kilo. Oh, they have big families, low incomes, and expensive food. Put it together. Okay. How do they deal with it? I don't know.
Or is there,
I can tell you that my brother has a brother-in-law in Yerushalayim. In his house, the kids don't get a whole piece of chicken. He once went to visit his brother-in-law, and one of his kids, you know, being an American kid, took a whole piece of chicken to his plate, and all his cousins said, "Look at what he did!" You know, as if he took a whole chicken. You know, I mean, it could be. I'm sure that they eat less.
I don't know if there's anyone to appeal to that and to maybe get some support to sort of break the. From within the.
If you want Rabbi Yoshua's email, I'll try to get it. I don't know how to do it. His cell number, okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
I love my car.